PM, July 2nd. I call this meeting to order. Durham, please stand and join the flag.
Pardon the flag of the United States of America and the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move to approve the minutes from previous meeting.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Donovan?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to, on behalf of the commissioners, thank y'all for having us here tonight, this evening. Great turnout, and we're really pleased that you made your space available for us and include us in your community. Jewel?
The mayor sends a regret that she had to go to work tonight, but she'd like to be here. We'd like to welcome you, thank you for coming, and very welcome to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. We'll move on to, so we have a agenda item. Bob Wiley, kind of a vision commission, multimodal transportation presentation.
Thank you. I would like to introduce a couple additional vision commissioners that are with me this evening. Jim Fitton and Tim Matthew from the vision commission as well. So thank you. Thank you again for the time. To start off, as I'm sure you're aware, the Ohio Rail Commission has announced a very aggressive, in fact, I'll say it's a fast-track plan to bring passenger rail to Ohio. Something that has been on the back burner, as we found out, for about 25 years to stay there. And it was announced that they made preliminary site selections, and Middletown is the site that they selected, and Hamilton was selected as an alternate site. And I'd like to start by saying that our presentation is not at all to position Hamilton against Middletown. In fact, we think that Middletown should be a site, and we'll support Middletown in the site selection process. But what we're going to propose is a little different twist, and we would hope that the commissioners would consider supporting both sites as they go forward. Because I think, you know, regionally, there's a lot to be gained by having both of those sites. As you'll see, I think our product is a little different from the traditional site that Ohio Rail Commission did present. We have met twice with the Ohio Rail Commission, once in Hamilton and once in Columbus, and discussed with them the site that we're now calling, let me read this to make sure I have it correct, the Butler County Regional Multimodal Passenger Rail Hub. Now, there's got to be an acronym in there somewhere, but I'm struggling with it. And the location for this multimodal hub is your airport. We think it is strategically located in the heart of the county. Obviously, the geography of such is on the border with the cities of Hamilton and Fairfield, and very close, contiguous to Fairfield Township, but very close to Liberty and Westchester Township as well. So we think it offers a site that's centrally located, and frankly, that is very close to the vacant industrial parkland in the townships, in the city of Fairfield, and also in the city of Hamilton. So we're looking at it as an economic engine. And when we talked to the Rail Commission, they were intrigued by the fact that other than a possible location, as we understand it, at the Columbus Airport, that locating at the regional airport gives them a different product, gives them something that will bring people together, not only from rail and air, but also from the Butler County Rapid Transit Authority, obviously automobiles, and the Metro Parks have a park very close by too. So truly people could access this. People being employees could access this to reach the employers in many, many different ways. One of the other interesting things that the Ohio Rail Commission found about the site is that while all sites have challenges, the fact that the rail, the Norfolk and Southern Rail that comes close to the airport, is a single track as compared to a double track. makes their construction costs be much more manageable. And I won't pretend to understand all of the engineering involved in that, but they found that to be attractive as well. They also like the fact that, again, that's very regional, that it could be the job center for so many different townships and cities. And also, within 7 miles of your airport, there are 280,000 people residing. And that's, those are 2000 census statistics. I suspect that we get the 2010 census finished, that number is going to be much higher. That puts your airport at the center of, I think it's the sixth largest city, were it to be a city, in the state of Ohio. That's just a great location for the passenger piece. And since this is federal stimulus money that the state is using, we think it should focus on job creation, and since it's passenger rail, clearly should focus on ridership and access to ridership. As you're preaching to the choir, you've done such a wonderful job investing in regional assets such as the airport, the bypass 4 extension, which is underway, as well as the next phase of the bypass 4, bringing Bob Meyer to bypass 4, to make that site even more accessible. We have sought in a very short time frame. I have to back up and say that the Ohio Rail Commission said, please understand that decisions will be made by September 1st. So if we want to develop and formalize our alternate site, we need to get something to them by July 1st. So it's a tight time window. But we have had an opportunity to seek and obtain the support of the City of Fairfield, the Hamilton Vision Commission, the Greater Hamilton Chamber of Commerce, the City of Hamilton, and Representative Combs. They have all said that they would, I guess the term would be, pass resolutions or letters of support. And we met with and discussed this concept with Mike Campbell from the Port Authority, Jim Blunt from the TIB, Carla, whose last name I cannot pronounce, from the Rapid Transit Authority, you know, we met Carla, Ron Davis from the Airport Authority, and one of our work group, Carla Fear, spoke with Greg Wilkins of the County Engineer's Office. Those people have said, this is a wonderful concept, we like where it's going, but please understand, we cannot support this if it is in competition with Middletown. It just does not make sense. And we've assured them that that is not the intent. That is not the intent. We have not received formal support. Most of them have boards, and as you know, the Airport Authority reports to you. But we have had discussions with them. And the concept of multimodal, being such a buzzword at the federal level, was something that excited all of those groups. When gasoline prices return to the summer of 08 level, and I think they will, or worse, the ability to bring employees to the county by rail, I think, will be a very attractive option for employers. That would allow them to have access to the present of developed industrial parkland, but again, all of that vacant land could be such an economic engine for the county as well. As I mentioned earlier, the Ohio Rail Commission is intrigued by the concept because it was unique. And it is not a concept that we are trying to position in competition with Middletown. We are meeting with them July 7th, next Tuesday. And it would be my hope that we can answer any questions that you may have this evening and gain your support, understanding that there's an awful lot of unknown. We don't have a site chosen or any of those things. It's just with this small window of time, we felt it important to go ahead and position this unique product for the Ohio Rail Commission to consider as if you will, Hamilton's alternative that we're now calling the Butler County Regional Multimodal Passenger Rail Hub. As they say, that concludes my formal remarks. Is there anything I can add or any questions that
Charlie, it's a great presentation and it sounds good. I just have to repeat what Logan said, I guess. We want to make sure that it's not in competition with Middletown.
I agree.
If there's a way that we can support both projects, personally, I would be very happy to do that, either by
resolution or whatever it takes, but we have to be assured that it's not one against the other. That little competition thing, the Big Blue and Middies, so we don't want to go there. So if that's a possibility, we'd be happy to. I would be happy to support it.
I think that is an ideal approach, because our group feels that Middletown should be included as well. And supporting both is a concept, again, that speaks to regionalism at the state level and not fragmentation. And because we have two different types of products that we're offering, I think supporting both sides would be appropriate.
If I may add, I think the airport is something that's been underutilized for a number of years. I appreciate it to a degree. I think people are starting to realize what a real asset that is to Butler County. And we can really play off that and lend itself to this type of adventure. So I appreciate your time and your words on this issue.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Right. Good presentation. Did the Rail Commission give you any indication that that there could be two or more stops in Butler County?
And I'll say this as judiciously as I can. They're very fine people, very qualified people. What they told us is for 25 years they had plans, and now they finally have money. I went to their website and looked, and this original plan was on the books as far back as 1999. I don't think they made those types of determinations. I think the population base in the county and the potential, again, for two different types of products, one with economic development, one with ridership and economic development as well. I'd like to think it would be difficult for them to just discard it. One of the comments they made was that they're very sensitive to the fact that if the trains were to come past the airport through Hamilton, they would have to work on a shared line with CSX. They said that's not insurmountable. They're actually going to do the same thing, because in Northern Ohio, or excuse me, the same thing in Columbus, in Northern Ohio, they're going to switch from NNF to CSX somewhere along the line. They commented that coming through the Hamilton Bend, kind of a dogleg right off the peak, and it would add, I think they said 8 to 10 minutes. They were concerned about time, but realistically, I think as Ohio regains its love affair with passenger rail that disappeared in the 50s, initially, most of the ridership would be in close by. There'd be people going from, if you will, Cincinnati to Dayton, maybe Dayton to Columbus. Adding 8 to 10 minutes, I think, is inconsequential. There may be some ridership from Cleveland to Cincinnati, but that really, I truly believe that's more of a central focus in terms of their time on the high-speed rail that they're coming. This is a separate product that's probably 15 years away. So I guess, Greg, in a long way around the barn, their plan is put forth, I think, was one out of expedience. They have to have this done by September. While it may be more energy for them to look at two sites within one county, realistically, the obstacles of time, I don't think, come into play. And I think they're far outweighed by the reality of ridership and economic development. That will be our next case itself, state level. That really both do belong in the county, and that there is a concentration of population in this county and growth in this county that I think it's matched in very few places across the state. I think it's a great story to tell, and we, understanding started as an alternate site, but we'd like to be able to tell our story and Middletown's story collectively.
Thank you. 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 Thank you
the good news from the budget process.
Good press, Greg, and as you know, I'm an optimistic kind of guy, but the state, if Butler County has budget problems, the state's got budget problems tenfold. We, of course, you know, by law have to have a balanced budget, and supposedly have a balanced budget by July 1st, June 3rd. We were there twice this week. We went up Monday, or Tuesday. We extended the biennial budget for 7 days. We went back Wednesday and extended the biennial budget for 14 days. So what that means, I have no clue. But if precarious, there is lots of fear in the budget. I've got more communication from libraries than I have on any other issue since I've been there in 6 years, and rightfully so. I think it was wrong to cut libraries. They have backed off somewhat of that. What we're hearing is very little. Conference committee has not been meeting. They were supposed to meet today at 3. I called up there a little before 5 to see if I could get a report on anything coming out of the conference committee, and there wasn't any news coming out. We will have a balanced budget. It will be painful. I think all of us sit in a similar position. If you're an elected official, whether you're at the city of Hamilton, the village of New Miami, or the state of Ohio, the federal government, it's kind of tough. My hope in all of this is that when it's over and things start to pick back up, as they will eventually, that we will have learned from the tough times and continue to be as critical of our money and our budget. And I know in Butler County we have done that and done it for years, but it's, I can remember many years ago, and Don probably remembers this too, Cale Walston made a statement a long time ago that it's a lot easier governing with money than without. And as years go by, you remember those things, and it's so true. We're gonna see. You guys know your time with this, just like we are. Local government funds, of course, we've got the protection in there. We did that a couple of years ago to protect as much as possible local governments. One of the things that we've talked about for many years is there's not a whole lot of us up there that have local government experience. So it's all easy to push the mandates down. You guys have seen that, and I have, as we have in our fears. The bigger the dog, the more they push it down on the local. Mandates from the federal government, the state government, and the state government are pushing down the local governments, which we all know we're not for, and we're trying to protect that line. But we're looking at many ways. I know one of the House Bill 25, which the Republican bill introduced in January, was a suggestion of the Republican Party of downsizing state government. And we believe that's the key. That bill has never had sponsor testimony or has never been in committee. We're pushing that envelope as well as the three of you. You just got so much money, and as tough as it is, and you guys got a tough job. You've got to balance the budget. Mr. Williams knows that very well. If nobody likes it, nobody wants to do it, but you got to do it. So, as I said, the bright thing about this, hopefully, is that when it's over and things start to pick up, and I believe that Butler County is by far one of the best counties in the state, and the growth that we've seen, we will continue to see in the future. But now it's time to get lean and mean, and that's what we're all about. So, long dissertation about for a short question, Greg.
Is our furlough legislation, furlough language still in?
The last that I checked on, the furlough legislation was still there. Nobody had talked about it, which is a good thing. And as long as nobody talks about it, it'll be there. So, as of this point in time, to my knowledge, it's still there. It hasn't been taken out. I'll give one caveat of that. There has been discussion about this is a budget and there shouldn't be any other amendments put into the budget. The furlough endowments you guys asked for, which Senator Cates put into the budget, still there. And I believe, well, it's kind of under the radar. It's not for the whole picture. The state is looking at, let's get this budget solved. How are we going to do that? Can we do that with gambling? Do you do it by cutting government? What do you do? That's where the complex issue is now. So, whether we'll know that, when I got the office a while ago, I got my emails. We're scheduled to be up next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. We really haven't been doing any legislation except for the fact of discussing the budget. I mean, that's the big talk. So, we're hoping that over the weekend and by Tuesday that the Conference Committee will be able to come together and come up with a budget. Because the longer you let it go, we're operating on 70% budget right now. It's continuation, basically. They took the biennium, the last year's biennium, 70% of that, and continued it on into what we're into the next biennium. So the longer you let it go, the worse it gets. I mean, you can just do that for so long. There was talk of, let's just take the 70%, go to January, and let's see what's the economy going to be in January. I don't think anybody knows. So this is what the whole thing is. But as we saw yesterday, unemployment being 9.5%, and hopefully not heading up, but it tends to be. So when those numbers come in, your income projections drop. And of course, when income projections drop, you have to cut something, or you have to enhance something. And I don't think there's very few that are inclined to talk about tax, especially in this rapid effects. So, as far as to answer your question, to my knowledge, yes, it's still there. Unless somebody gets vocal about it and jumps up and down, it will be in the US.
Thanks for the report.
Sure. Good luck.
Well, the agenda resolution to be adopted.
Okay, first we have a separate resolution to consider budget and transfers for the Board of Elections. Board of Elections, we have an increase a decrease in budget in insurance and taxes for $4,385, then an increase in budget in the Board of Elections Fund, Fund 76. Both of these are for unemployment costs. The increases are $4,385 and $16,863, should be considered as a separate resolution.
I move to approve.
Second. Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jean-Louis?
Yes.
And Mr. Dixon abstaining. Next, we have three travel and trainings. First is CSEA Ray Paver to attend the Executive Board General Membership Meeting, Child Support, Newark, Ohio, $515, July 15 to 17. Next, we have from Common Pleas Court, Heather Katie Kimberlin Indeskine to attend a magistrate practice continuing education, $780, Murin, Ohio, July 22nd to 24th. Next, we have Dan Phillips from the Prosecutor's Office to attend the criminal advocacy training, Ohio State Bar Association, $400, Columbus, Ohio, August the 6th. As we move on to finance and transfers, we have nine items to consider today. First is in Commissioner's account to increase budget for $797 for unemployment comps. Item number two, fund number 51, taxes. This is a decrease in budget of $25,424 as the reserve for unemployment comp is transferred out to three operating departments. These operating departments are Economic Development, Fund 54, an increase in budget for unemployment for $3,136. The Sheriff's Office, Fund 853, an increase in budget for unemployment comp, $19,797, and an increase in Fund 854, paramedics, an increase of $1,701. Item number four, this is a transfer between accounts, as it actually is in advance from the general fund to the, I believe this is the Miami Conservancy Fund, for $10,000 to be repaid once taxes are collected. Item number five, fund number 100, tax abatement fees. This is an increase of budget of $4,092 for unemployment comp. Item number six, the commissary fund, fund 1022. This is a transfer between accounts, $25 in order to recoup some inmate funds. Item number seven, this is an increase in budget of $300,324. This is for new monies received for the JAG grant that is going to be used and dispersed within Butler County. Various other communities also benefit from this fund. This is, I believe, this is Butler County's portion. Item number eight, the Water Replacement and Improvement Fund, Fund 4120. This is an increase of budget of $250 for additional project expenses due to a small CO. Item number nine, this is the Regional Transit Authority. If you recall, last meeting we removed the Transit Authority from the books of the county as they're becoming their own fiscal agents. This is an adjustment to that transfer of $69,423, increase in an account $180,000, and then $6,942, which is a decrease in account $180,000. As we move on to personnel, we have 17 personnel items to consider today. First is a step increase, first is a license increase for Children's Services for Jamie McCaffey, an educational increase of $1.04 an hour, effective June 12th. Next is an education increase for Judy Curley, Children's Services, collecting bargaining number. This is $1.34 per hour, I think her pay is $25.66, effective June 12th. Next was clearly a non-time payout of 10 hours. Children's Services collected bargaining unit member Michelle Morris for $176.50. Next, we have a request to hire 20 summer youth employees for Butler County Job and Family Services. You recall, this is part of the stimulus money that is used for the summer youth programs. Next, we have a step increase for collective bargaining unit member and children's services, Amanda Drake, 64 cent increase to $19.61, effective June 12, 2009. Next, we have a step increase in children's services, collective bargaining unit member Sarah Pinkbine, an increase of 46 cents an hour, effective June 20th. Next, we have a step increase for collective bargaining unit member Social Services Karen Holbrock, a 69 cent per hour increase, effective June 12th. Next, we have a step increase for collective bargaining unit member and Children's Services Katie Fisher. This is a 73 cents an hour adjustment to July, effective July 10th. Next, we have a step increase collective bargaining unit member of Children's Services, Mary Strapp. This is a 73 cents an hour increase effective July 16th. Next, we have a step increase for Julie Makapetris. This is a 66 cent increase for the Children's Services collective bargaining unit member effective June 27th, taking her raise to $20.27. Next, we have a step increase for Megan McQueen, a 59 cents an hour, Children's Services collective bargaining unit member, $18.24, effective June 23. Next, we have a 67 cent increase for Jamie Miller, Children's Services collective bargaining unit member, step increase to $20.74, effective June 11. Next, we have a 64 cent increase for Children's Services collective bargaining unit member Tara Eden. This is $19.94, effective June 11. Next, we have an 81 cent increase for Abigail Sexton, step increase to Children's Services collective bargaining unit member to $24.48, effective June 10. Next, we have a step increase for 77 cents for Christy Schoolcraft, Children's Services collective bargaining unit member, takes her to $23.68, effective June 15th. Next, we have a request to terminate six participants in the summer youth program funded by the federal stimulus dollars. And then finally, we have a request to accept the summer youth payroll for the period June 13th, 2009 to June 26th, 2009. As we move on to Job Family Services and Children's Services, we have 13 items to consider today. First is to approve and ratify an agreement with Lifespan Inc. for guardianship services for the period July 1, 2009 to June 30, 2010, not to exceed $17,000. This is tied to adult protective services. This involves assessment and face-to-face visits in coordination with the probate court for help elderly who needs this type of service. The second item is to approve and ratify a contract with the Butler County Educational Services Center. This is the Kinship Navigator Services Program contract, effective July 1, 2009 to June 30, 2010, in the amount not to exceed $74,000. This is passed through grant money, which helps out parents who are raising children other than their own. It provides counseling, it provides legal advice, respite, and training. Next, we have a child care contract with Lapeed Academy, effective July 1, 2009 to June 30, 2010, not to exceed $443,200. This is a pass-through from the state of Ohio. Another child care contract with Fowler's Educational Academy, period July 1, 2009 to June 30, 2010, not to exceed $161,100, passed through from the state. Next is another child care contract with Tiny Tots Child Care. This is for period June 1, 2009, June 30, 2010, not to exceed $157,500, passed through from the state. Next is a daycare contract with Kinder Care Learning Center, period July 1/09, June 30, 2010, in amount of $733,300, not to exceed, and pass through from the state. Next is to approve and execute an agreement with St. Joe Orphanage for wraparound services as fiscal agent for the period of January 1, 2009 to December 31, 2010, the amount of the contract $12,500. This involves disability determination, and this service used to be done by, you know, mental health, who subcontracted at St. Joe's. So instead of going through mental health, we're contracting directly with St. Joe's Orphanage. Next, we have a request to approve and execute a children's services contract, the Second Amendment, with Transitions for Youth, Inc. This is a foster care placement contract for an additional $10,000. Next, requested to approve and execute a Children's Services Second Amendment to Agreement with Choices, Inc. This is a foster care and independent living services contract for an additional amount of $35,000. Next, we requested to approve and execute a Children's Services Agreement with One Way Farm of Fairfield for group home placements beginning July 1/09 to June 30 in the amount of $130,000. Next, you requested to approve and execute Children's Service Agreement with Lighthouse Youth Services for foster care, group home, and independent living, period July 1/09 to June 30, 2010, not to exceed $385,000. Next is to approve and execute Children's Service Agreement with Choices, Inc. for foster care and independent services beginning July 1/09 to June 30, 2010, not to exceed $560,000. Next is to approve a contract with the Educational Services Center to provide community wraparound services. The amount is $310,000. This contract provides support and education to parents and families.
Why do we have two separate resolutions for choices?
One is an amendment to an existing contract, and the other one is a new contract that we entered into.
So why is plus the old contract versus the new contract? What's the difference?
The period of time, the old contract is expiring, and they've used more dollars there than, you know, what they anticipated.
So it just ended up being around $35,000 number. Yeah, that seemed like that possible.
Well, they probably rounded up. They probably had more spending than they anticipated, and they basically just rounded it up.
When are we going to get the explanation on all these contracts? Because we are
paying. We'll work to have another work session where we'll review these prior to approval. So we'll work for it.
Is there a reason we can't have it included in our package?
No, we can have it included in our package. What would you propose on a work session, or just have it included in the package for review?
Either one works for me, as long as I understand what we're doing. But we just did $2.5 million worth of these contracts, and I don't have a clue what they are. It just makes sense if we have some sort of explanation, like we said before.
Okay.
Work for it that the hour can thank you.
Next is Texas Water and Sewer. We have four items to consider today. First is advertise for bids for dues cost for the water main replacement contract for water and sewer. Next is to release performance bond for the extension of water and sewer lines to Monroe Logistics Center. Next is to receive and refer bids for the Sharon Creek Force Main replacement. 10 bids were received with a low bid from Cooley Construction in the amount of $297,443. Next, you have a request to receive and refer bids for the Westchester Road water main replacement. And there were 8 bids received with low bid to Cooley Fully Construction, the amount of $310,344. As we move on to the engineer, the engineer has four items for you to consider. First is to approve permissive motor vehicle tax fund from the city of Hamilton, US 127, in the amount of $975,000 even. Next is to award contract number 20097 for Bower Road Bridge Replacement to WG Stang, LLC, in the amount of $295,127. Next is approve and execute contract 20098 with WG Stang for the Howard Road Bridge Replacement in the amount of $215,369. Next is to receive and refer bids for the Reisinger Road realignment and intersection. There were 9 bids received with a low bid to procure contractors in the amount of $602,644. As we can move on to miscellaneous, there are 5 miscellaneous items to consider today. First is an amendment to increase a software enhancement project for the probate court with release 3 and increase in this particular contract to $18,200. Next is to approve a second amendment to a lease at the Butler County Regional Airport, Hangar 6C ground lease with AG Properties to provide a 10 to buy 10 additional workspace for the location of the dumpster. Next is to approve and execute a participation agreement with the City of Monroe in order for the city to become a user of the public safety communications, emergency communication system. Next is to appoint Joel Fink to the Workforce Investment Board, Southwest Ohio, for a term beginning through June 30th, 2011. And next is to receive and refer bids for a bid for the treasurer for institutional custody services and 7 bids from 7 different financial institutions were received. And then finally, to approve 68 payments under the then and now payment certificate.
No further questions or alterations, I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Mr. Chalabet?
Yes.
Mr. Dixon?
Yes.
Come on, everyone. Thank you. I don't remember what this was about. It's for umpire fees and registration cycle.
Yeah, it's a recreational game that the county has joined with Westchester. It's a softball league to feed up community teams that are playing during the month of July.
Who joined?
I don't know exactly who, but it was a part of the health program.
What part of that program?
The health insurance for it come out.
Where does that money come from? Health insurance.
It comes from all the various departments and employees.
Does it come from the general fund?
Yes.
So we're taking money out of the general fund. Let me get this right. Taking money out of the general fund. Not only $229. We're laying people off. We're freezing salaries, and we're going to win a softball league.
That's a request for reimbursement. He doesn't have to approve it.
Well, it says here they're playing July the 2nd.
They can easily take up a contribution to cover that as well, if we don't want to cover it.
Well, doesn't it have to be approved before they do the expenditures? That way we're here tonight, why it's here tonight?
If we're to be reimbursed, it has to be approved. That's not on the agenda for tonight. That's where
the ball game. but they're going to play the game tomorrow, when? Saturday?
I don't think it's already started, that's correct.
Tonight?
I don't exactly know what the date is.
Well, I'll make a motion that we deny the expenditure, tell them before they play, because they might not want to go.
Okay.
I think it's bad timing and literally surprised you even got to do it. Yeah, that's kind of administrative thing, I think we've been handling. And it's only $229, and I don't think it sends the right message.
We should deny the reimbursement.
I'd like to have more information on where the fund goes and who's playing it. Information you should have about this. I kind of agree with Commissioner Dixon, but I need more information.
I just don't think it's appropriate. I don't care if it's $229. So I'll sign it and make it two signatures, but one of them will be on it, so.
Do you all have any?
Okay. Those are comments. Do you have any to report about tonight, any issues you want to raise, talk about? Dr. Chang? Anybody? Doesn't cost anything. Okay, seeing none. Commissioners have anything?
I'd just like to express our appreciation to City Council for their hospitality and also to recognize Chief Deputy Tony Breyer. Appreciate you being here.
We're in such a room this side, we can't see you.
Any of City Council want to say anything?
Commissioner Herman? Also, for Vice Mayor and current council over here, I want to express thanks to the county commissioners. Personally, this for one, Mr. Dixon, for the help they've given me in my seat. And also, we've had a lot of discussions about what to do with police protection here. And Chief Deputy knows that we're indebted to the Sheriff's Department for that, and I just want to recognize that we are very appreciative of what the Sheriff's Department is doing and the commissioners as well. So we just, as a village, wanted to thank you. And we want to welcome you back at any time for your meetings.
Thanks, well, appreciate that.
Commissioner Dalbert? No? Seeing none, or motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Mr. Herman?
Yes.
Mr. Dalbert?
Yes.
Mr. Dixon?
Yes.